You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Go with me to, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, as we are going to talk these next 2 weeks about vision. And today we're going to talk about the vision you need. So in many ways, I'm giving you a little bit of a pre-conference taste. Most of the teaching at the conference will be more interactive, as you might imagine. This is going to be preaching and teaching us on Sunday. But I wanted to start by talking about vision, which we'll wrap up next week. This is the vision that you need. I'm going to read this whole chapter together, and then we're going to look at a few amazing things together. As Isaiah chapter 6 talks about this vision of the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles, your digital device. Verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say this to his people.'" Father, come now, I pray. Speak related to your truth, Jesus. Speak, God, about these things. Allow them to sit, God, if possible, even now, with the same sacred fire that once sat in Isaiah. Now let it sit in us. Be glorified in all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Say it with me, church. This is such a great chapter. This is such a great chapter. And so I'm just jumping into Isaiah chapter 6. We haven't taught before this, and so you might be a little off balance. You go, okay, what's going on in chapter 6? Obviously, there are five chapters beforehand. And what you have in a very interesting way in the book of Isaiah is chapter 6 is somewhat really the beginning of it. There was sort of a buildup of five chapters beforehand. And Isaiah is a grown man. He's been with the Lord for some time. But now in a very unique place in his adult life, and this should encourage you, in a very unique place in his adult life, after walking days and years with God, now comes a new vision, a refreshed vision of God. And Isaiah, after he has this, is no longer the man that he was. And so I want you to interact with your life. And whatever is going on, maybe today is the best day, maybe today is the worst day, or maybe you're in between, I want you to grab hold of a true spiritual reality that will allow Jesus Christ to win in your life every single day. And that is, you need visions of God. And so we talk about vision, and we talk about as a professional, and maybe some of you are professionals, maybe you teach this stuff, maybe you attend these kind of seminars, but you understand that there is an academic way of understanding business vision. And those things are all great. They should be done. They should be done. We should lead companies and businesses and schools in a way where we're talking intelligently about where we're going, and we should measure those things. All of those things are fair game. This is totally different. We're talking about the vision you need. And it's a vision of God. It's a vision of God's character. It's a vision of God's truth. It's a vision of who God really is, because that vision will win the day. You know, you have to think about what kind of man Isaiah was afterwards. Isaiah was a man touched by God. I hope that it can be said of your life that you were a man or that you were a woman touched by God. I hope that planet Earth could walk around and peer into your life and look into your life and say, that's what it looks like when God gets a hold of a man. That's what it looks like when God gets a hold of a woman. Right there. That's what it looks like. Because that's what God is wanting to do. And so Isaiah was a man who probably in some way knew the Lord and had journeyed with them. And here gets a fresh vision of God, and he really gets going. He sees God the Son, God in his glory. Cross-reference of John chapter 12, verse 41, if you want to note that. He heard God's message, and he sought to do the very things that would bring his people back to God. Politically, it's really fascinating. So the nation was at risk. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. So in this day and age, the very nature of God's kingdom was actually divided. And there's this northern kingdom, there's a southern kingdom. He's in the southern kingdom. And the Syrians, what we would call the Syrians, or historically, just spelled a little different, the Assyrians, the Assyrians, they're going to come down and they're going to really trouble Israel. They're going to cause all kinds of havoc. But at this day, there's actually great things that are going on politically. And so there's some things we'll talk about in a moment. But listen, related to vision, I want you to understand that vision can actually push you through. Visions of God can actually push you through. Visions of the knowledge of God can push you through. Visions of the Word of God can push you through. I was really touched recently of a true story of two men named Mark and Bryce. So this is a true story of two men named Mark and Bryce. And both were actually in the very ends, as the story goes, of their Navy SEAL training. Both had spent about 6 years physically, mentally, intellectually, going through all the military protocols of all of that. They're in the famous BUDS class, and they're in the very, this is the very, very end. You know, now, so one of the things that really gets me, that bums me out a little bit, having known some Navy SEALs and having been friends with them, is how bad Hollywood gets when they fail. You know, some Hollywood movies make it seem that you had some breakdown in character or you're some low-life person if you tap out of BUDS training. Let me tell you, there's a lot of sane reasons why to tap out of BUDS training. I mean, this is a very, very difficult training. And so oftentimes, even though the mind is all there, the body gives out, or sometimes vice versa. And so what you need to know is that people going through BUDS training, these are professional athletes, the best of the best of the best, and they're training. So this is the last day. And it's actually a relatively easy swim, albeit, you know, they're not in their skivvies, they're in gear. And so this swim in the ocean is it. You just got to do the swim, and you get to shore. There's not even time. You just got to get there, and you're in. And so as the story goes, telling you about Mark and Bryce, Mark actually, oddly enough, he gets there first. He touches shore. He gets up. He looks around. He goes, where's Bryce? And Bryce is struggling, but he goes, okay, Bryce, come on, hurry up. You're a better swimmer than I am. And again, this is the very end. So Mark himself is completely exhausted. And so he realizes that the unthinkable has just happened to his friend. Bryce has actually just body and his mind gave completely out and actually begins to sink and drown. And now there's frogmen around, and if they grab you, this is it. You know, that then you came all this far and you're within 20 to 30 yards from the shore, and you're not that's it, because we had to pick you up. You got to be able to complete this exercise all by yourself. And so Mark runs into the shore, and he's not allowed to go actually after his buddy, but he's on this shoreline, and he's just screaming with all the rest of the lung capacity for him. He's just screaming, and he's throwing this water around, and he's trying to do everything to get his friend's attention, because he understands what happened to him. He understands what happened to him, and he's trying to get his attention. And so Bryce, all of a sudden, as Bryce tells the story, he's sinking. He's got nothing left. In murky water, the light opens up, and he gets a vision of his friend on the shore screaming like a crazy man. And he's thinking, I got nothing left. You know, there's no braggadocious, like, I got this. I can do this. It's gone. I have nothing left in the tank. And he sees this vision of his friend there screaming, and he hears in his mind, push, just push. And he says to him, I don't know what happened. I don't know. It felt like Mark reached into the water and pulled me out. I found myself giving the last dozen or so strokes necessary to go the actual distance, and I found myself on the sand and in his arms. Yeah, it's a great story. And so both those guys would be well-known credentialed Navy SEALs. Now, sadly, we know that story because Mark would lose his life in Iraq. And Bryce would go after the whole ritual of the Navy SEALs, and he would tell his parents, he goes, listen, I got to tell you, you know, I'm torn up by this because I should not even be here. And he tells them that story, and he blesses them with that story. And he goes on now to tell everybody the story of vision. So there's something to this. There's something in these moments in life when you have this greater and greater and greater clarity, and you can't go any farther. And I know some of you are saying, I can't go any farther, or I don't know how to make it to the next level, or I don't know how to accomplish these kind of goals. And I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I cannot go any farther. The power of vision. And the power of visions of God. The powers of God's power and God's character are actually what supernaturally push you through. Let's talk here about the text. In the year that King Uzziah died, we're in 700 BC, so there's a lot of academics that actually argue about the specific year. If you know this text and you want to say 740, great, say 740. Some people say 735. All right, and then there's other articles that say 738. Okay, whatever. Okay, we're in the 700s, and we're about that period of time, and we understand King Uzziah is a real person. And so what I want first you to have a vision of what you need. You need to know that God is in charge of human history. Now, Uzziah was an interesting character. King Uzziah is a literal king in Israel, and he had done many, many, many great things. He had really stood up for righteousness. He had led his people in righteousness. But he had a weakness that would come to him later in life that sometimes can come to all of us in life with all of our success. And I look at all of you, and you look so beautiful to me, and I know so many of your stories, and so many of you are so talented, and you're so wonderful, and you're so successful in so many different ways. And so Uzziah was like that. He was this gifted king. He reigned for many, many, many decades. He does many great things, and yet at the end of his life, he becomes proud. And he does something that maybe you and I understand or don't understand very well. He crosses some boundaries. He doesn't cross sexual boundaries and take another woman. Doesn't do that. He crosses sacred boundaries with God in terms of his relationship with God. So he's the king. He's a talented king. And he says, you know what? I've been successful, and I've done so many great things. I don't really need the priests in worship. Just sort of like saying, I don't really need a pastor to help me teach. I don't need other people around me to help me grow. You know, I can figure it all out for myself. And so he's going to go into the holy place himself, and he's going to light the sacred fire. And if you don't know your Bible and you want to take notes, just write major no-no. I know that's really pedestrian way of talking, but it's true. Okay, so that would be, you know, no-no, never-never no. That's one of those, right? You know, so no-no, never-never no, right? So I've been on some boats with some guys in the past, and the captain gets up. He goes, I've got a few rules, and I want you to know this phrase, no-no, never-never no. When I tell you that, make sure you follow it, you know? And so this is one of those, no-no, never-never no. But he's going to go do it. Now, how determined is he going to go do it? As the text in 2 Samuel chapter 26 says, he is going to go do it. Here's what it takes to stop him. 80 priests. It takes 80 buff dudes, okay? It takes 80 real men to go stop the king from going into the holy place. They're saying, you can't do this. You can't do this. And he's saying, yeah, I can do whatever I want because I'm the king. You know, Hey, are you kidding me? I mean, look at all the things I've done. Look how successful I've been. Look at all the, and what he's really saying is that the word of God does not apply to me. The very boundaries of God do not apply to me. The very rules of God do not apply to me. I'm the king. I've been successful. I have made all of you rich. I've made so many people money. And so get out of my way, because this is on my bucket list, and I'm going to go light the sacred fire. And these priests are saying, please don't do this. And God finally lets him know he's not supposed to do that, because in a moment God will visit him and make him a leper. And he'll die that way. King Uzziah did great things, and his pride got the better of him. And so this is in the year that he died. We don't know if it's before or after, but it's in that year that he died. And what you need to understand as you look at life, as you hear about coronavirus, as you hear about whether it's this president or that president, whether you want to wear a red hat or a blue hat, whether you want to do anything politically, whether you hear about economies, whether you hear about this nation rising and that nation rising, or whatever the case is, the vision you need is that first and foremost, God is in charge of human history. And this is going somewhere. And you can choose to be on the inside of the beautiful of God's kingdom and help human history go to a beautiful place and bless the world with all of your talents and be one of those who are known for lifting other people up and lifting other people up and lifting people up. Or you can be those who tear others down. God is looking for those who will lift people up, because God is in charge of human history. Second vision you need right here. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon, what does it say there? A throne, high and lifted up. I saw God sitting upon his throne. God is actually sitting on his throne. And he is high and lifted up. And the visions that you need are of God higher and higher and higher, sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. And so, again, the personal nature of this, God is in control. You get that bad medical report, those bad financial reports, or you get the great ones. God is on his throne, and he's in control of these things. And so around God's throne, this is a vision that you need of him high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood seraphim. Now, if you've read your Bible before, do you know what a seraphim is? You know, very few people know what a seraphim is. This is the only reference of a seraphim. This is hotly debated, but here's what we know about this creature. There's cherubim, there's other things like this. This is a seraphim. Here's what we know, is that this creature is literally somehow on fire with God's holiness. Man, I'd like to see that. I'd like to have part of that. This creature somehow around God's throne, again, he's getting a vision, is that this creature is somehow on fire with God's power, on fire with God's holiness. And this creature's got some really bizarre physical characteristics. It has six wings, and so two are covering the face, two are covering the feet, and then they're flying with the other two. Right? And so this seraphim is centered around God being on the throne. Let's talk about what's going on the throne. Let me give you a way of understanding the throne. I'm sure if I were to ask you, do you do what you say? You might say, yes, I do what I say. I'm a person of integrity. I'm a woman of integrity. So if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And then I would probably maybe press it a little farther and say, does that happen to you every single time? Do you do what you say perfectly every single time? What would you say? Okay, most people say no. You know, it might be a little more humble. But you'd say, well, I want to be that way, but, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect. Okay, we would all understand that. Let's talk about integrity, because that's what's going on in God's throne. I want to break this down three ways. Integrity can be thought of the ability to do what you say. All right, so somebody says they're going to do something, they're going to do it. They have the ability to actually do what they say. So if it's a surgeon, and you need surgery, and he says, I can cut here and make it happen, and I can repair it, they can do that. If they're saying, I'm going to be at your place on time, or I'm going to follow through in a business transaction, or personally, I'm going to do this now or not do that anymore, whatever the case is, integrity is the ability to do what you say. Secondly, the ability is to build loving relationships. So inside integrity is ability to build loving relationship. God is really about building loving relationships with you. Now, listen, I'm breaking this down. I got one more point here. So the ability to not blow, those first two things all wrap around integrity. First, do what you say. Second, build loving relationships. Third, ability to not blow those first two things. That's integrity. On God's throne is perfect integrity. God's going to say to you, I can do certain things, and he can do it every single time. It starts by someone, by God saying to you, I can save your soul. I can save your soul. I can save you from the most difficult life experience you're going through. I could actually save you of that. I have the ability to actually save you of that. I can be with you all the way through the end. I have the ability to pour love upon you. I have the ability to pour divine, perfect love, perfectly in your life, all the time. I have the ability to do that, God says. I have the ability to guide you in truth. I have the ability to guide you in righteousness. I have the ability to put positive people in your life just to encourage you. I have the ability to bring people in your life to you to encourage them. I have the ability to build an actual personal relationship with you. God says, I have the ability to do that. And I actually have, God says, the ability to do all of those things and never blow it, not once. That's why the cross is so amazing, because Jesus, when you read the Gospels, he says, you know what? I know you guys like to walk in on water. I know you guys like the healing. I like the healing too. It's great, he says, you know. And you know you guys really love the lunch, you know, the loaves and fishes and all of that. I know you really like that. And you like all the other teachings I do. And so that's great. Guess what? I'm going to the cross. And Peter, you know, says, no, you're not. And then Jesus rebukes him. He goes, yeah, I am. No, and not only that, I'm actually going to go, I'm going to be crucified on the cross, and 3 days later, I'll be resurrected. Now, no one's going to really remember this, but I will come and remember this. And then at the very end, Jesus says, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to die on the cross, and here's the people who are going to make it happen, and I'm going to be resurrected on the third day, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, because you're so overwhelmed by this right now, you're not going to remember a thing, but I'm going to remind you of that. And the Holy Spirit, it's actually better that he comes and reminds you of all of these things. That's God on the throne. God on the throne can perfectly make good with every single thing he says in your life, because it's true. Because he's actually on the throne. That's why. And he sits on the throne with absolute integrity. And he has the ability to build a loving relationship in your life. And he can make that happen and make it stick. And he has the ability, because he has that integrity, to not blow it. And that is actually what he's pouring out. And you need a vision of that. You need to have a vision that God working in your life is actually going to give you the ability to do what you say. And a vision to build these wonderful, loving relationships. An ability to actually persevere and not blow it. Third vision you need. You need a vision that God is actually high and lifted up. I saw the Lord sitting upon a robe, sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. You need that vision of him high and lifted up. Some people have this problem. They are constantly looking with paranoia at all the negativity around them. And they really get into the idea of negativity around them. And so there's always something, you know, people like this say that, people like that do that. There's always that side of the street, and they like to verbalize it, and they invite you to participate in it. Can I tell you to just walk away from it? God is high and lifted up. So he is higher than all your problems. He's higher than all your weaknesses. He's higher than everything you would ever face. And so you do not need to be afraid when you walk on planet Earth. You do not need to fear when you face certain circumstances, because God is actually high and lifted up. And to focus on all of that fear is actually to cripple yourself from love. And the focus of all of that negativity is to actually release demons in your life, actually, that are just going to be so much more worse. But to focus on God being high and lifted up is freedom and blessing and goodness. Do you really need another friend coming in your life and go, yeah, let me tell you, this is on the medical side, you know, so let me tell you the bad advice every doctor gives you. Oh, yeah, let me tell you what pastors are like. Oh, let me tell you what Christians are like. Oh, gosh, oh, you're going to build a home. Let me tell you what contractors are like. Oh, get another plumber. Do you really need somebody like that in your life? We know you need a friend who's wise. Hey, listen, look, as you go talk to that doctor, just ask these questions. Be smart. Are you going to build a house? You got to talk to a contractor. Hey, just here, first of all, here's my friend. You can trust him. And just ask these two or three questions. Be careful, man. Just know God's going to work all this stuff out. You know what? What do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come over. I'm going to come with you this. What are you doing getting in the car? I'm going to the doctor. Yeah, I'm coming with you because I was a little worried about you. I'm going to go with you there. I went to a hospital run this week with somebody, and they looked at me and go, why are you here? And they were really in a negative spot there, really. It was a very serious circumstance I won't tell you about. And I just said, bro, like, I'm ever going to leave you alone? Right? Just grab me and just start crying. Because that's how we are. And so, you have to understand that I knew this person's going to be weak, and I just wanted to go there by my presence and just say, God's high and lifted up. We'll get through all of this. We're high and lifted up. We'll get through all of this. So do you really need another friend going, rah, 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 rah? You know, people are going to say, and you want to be this person. You want God to be this person. God's high and lifted up. If it's surgery, well, then we'll go together. If it's some financial thing, we'll do that. If it's marital account, we'll do that. And we're going to rejoice because God is high and lifted up and high and lifted up. And you are going to see that he is on the throne and high and lifted up and that he can actually do what he says and receive all the glory and all the praise. And there's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. I want you to see this in the text. I love this. I love what we're about to look at right here. I hope you're still with me because this is good. This is good. I want you to catch this here. This is the seraphim, right? Only time in the Bible we see this specific seraphim. And one calls to another, so they're calling out to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know what the Lord of hosts means? So write down or tap it in your device, whatever the case is. That means the Lord, that is actually Adonai, and that is, or Yahweh. And so it's either that as the word goes back and forth. So that is holy, holy, the Lord of hosts, Adonai, the powerful one, Yahweh, the one who has actually been always from the beginning, who is from before, now, and always, beginning to end, amen. He never had a beginning. He never had a beginning. He's so God. That's the God that's Yahweh. Adonai, power, nothing I can't do. Lord of hosts, God of angel armies. That's what that means. Lord of hosts, God of angel armies. Listen, friends, it's hard for me not to get teary-eyed right now to tell you this truth. Because the truth is, God has an angel army doing war for you, his sons and daughters. He has an angelic army warring for his church. He has an angelic army warring for you. They're doing battle for you. So when you pray, you are participating in the positive, victorious side of that battle. And whoa, what it would be like if we did not pray. And so people gather together before church to pray because they understand that you and I in this moment need mental, spiritual breakthroughs that are supernatural, and there are actually warring angel armies for you. We understand that you had a whole week, and maybe there's been some things that have happened to you or loved ones, or you're troubled or whatever the case is, and you need this breakthrough. And we understand that some of you have had the most positive and beautiful things, and you need to rejoice and give praise to God, but you're hesitant because you go, well, I don't want to raise my hands and do that. God of angel armies. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his what? His glory. Now look what happens. Look what happens. And the foundations of the thresholds. This is not God speaking. This is what happens when the seraphim are speaking back and forth, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, Lord of holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him. It's shaking. Just saying that is causing a shaking of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. Yeah. I don't know where you're at, but I will tell you that if in your life you will declare this, you will see smoke and fire on your behalf and the release of power that you've never seen. This is for you to participate in. This is for you to be a part of. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. So make that personal. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And my personal home is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And so my parenting is full of his glory. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. My business in my office, my truck is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. My health is full of his glory. You get it? Heaven shakes at the agreement of God's children. The very foundations of God shake. God is not the one talking here. Linguistically, he's not the one talking, or grammatically, he's not. These are the angels. This is us talking back and forth. And God is so pleased that the very throne shakes at his pleasure. And the house filled with smoke. So one thing I really enjoy, is our college students from the Ranch Church sometimes email me, and I love it. I love it. I love it. And so some will email me and go, Pastor, I'm at the university, and I'm in a class, and they think you're stupid. Like yes. And so you know, I got this professor, and they're saying this. Now, everybody who's emailed me is not, you know, a religious studies major or something like that. They're just trying to take a general ed class, and frankly, they just want to get a degree and move on. But they're in this class, you know, where they got a professor who's got an agenda to try and de-Christianize people. And so they're going to email me and write me things. And I'm like, man, I'm so on this. I mean, I just love it. You know, I'll stay up all night and interact or whatever. And so in this one case, I find out, you know, that I go, okay, what's going on? And what's going on is that this teacher has got a clear feminist ideology about her. She's looking at every text from what we would call really fairly radical feminism, and everything is going through that lens. And so she's being really reactionary with this college student who's just starting out. And so I'm like, oh, great, I got it. Okay, ask me a question. Okay, great, here's the answer there, here's the answer here, here's the answer there. And I'm reminding them, I go, look, don't argue with your teacher. You know, you don't need to do this. You know, just ask them some questions. And just ask them, you know, the justification of their answers. And just stay with them from a logic standpoint. And, you know, don't, you know, be a good witness as you disagree. You know, learn to disagree with class and tact and be a good Christian that way. And so, in this situation, things were resolved in a more positive way, and so I was worried for a few moments over in some interaction over a couple weeks, and so I decided to just email this person back, and kind of it goes to the point. I just email this person back, and I say, hey, how things are going? Here's what they end up saying. They said, well, thank you, you know, for the email, for the truth. I took your advice. It was nice to my teacher. I was tried to be as class as I could be. I simply began to ask a lot of questions, as you asked me to do. But here's what I want you to know, Pastor, is that I have experienced things in Jesus Christ. And I have been at your church. And then they go, dot, dot, dot. That's my church. Love that. And with you and everyone else, I've experienced God's presence. So they said, there's not a lie big enough to make me not believe. A lie doesn't, there's no lie big enough to actually make me not believe, because I've sat in a church with simple chairs, with simple people, and I've actually given my life to the Lord, and I've sung back to God songs, I've opened up the Word of God, I've gotten on my knees, I've realized I'm sinful, I've experienced forgiveness of sin, the removal of shame and guilt, I've experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, and lies are not big enough to take any of that away. Yeah, I mean, we should just like be going, woo! That's why I say his presence. This is all going on at the throne of God. And fifth, you need a vision to speak God's glory. You need a vision to speak that. I made so much of this personal to you, but you need to speak it over people's lives. You need to speak it over my life. You need to speak it over the church's life. You need to speak it over your family's life. You need to speak it out. Visions of God's glory. I love this verse. It comes from later on in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But when you're talking about speaking God's glory, he's going to say in Isaiah 4, chapter 40, verse 31, again, this is farther down in a very long book. Isaiah is simply going to say, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Speak God's glory. Write it down. Remind one another. Have it. Have it. Isaiah here would understand how far he was. He said, woe to me, I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean people, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But he understood that there was a saving nature with all of that, and so he's going to declare God's glory. I love Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, which says, in returning and rest you shall be saved. Again, I'm referencing Isaiah 30, 15. In returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I love that verse. It should be one of our memory verses. In returning and rest you shall be saved. And in quietness and confidence, that shall be your strength. Isaiah 30, 15. Read it tonight as a family. Speak God's glory. Sixth, that vision that we need is sacred humility. Sacred humility. You know, it's fascinating, Isaiah's response. You know, woe to me, I'm lost, from a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's been walking with the Lord, as I understand this, for quite some time, and now he embraces a whole new place of humility. I will just tell you that one of the joys of being a few seasons down the road in life is, when I was a much younger man, so braggadocious and arrogant and thinking I was all that, and I can still be prone to that human error, but being now a few decades in advance to realize, you know what, I'm not all that. And praise the Lord. Because there's freedom in embracing your limitations. When you realize that your limitations are a blessing, you'll actually begin to walk in greater humility. Instead of understanding you have to be all that, and you have to chase all that, and you have to keep up with everyone, and then, you know, you've always got to be first, and whatever the thing is. And so when you actually understand your limitations are a gift from God to you, and they're actually given to you by God, and you can walk in them and see God do great things, you'll begin to enjoy the sweetness of what I call sacred humility. Confidence, yes. Humility, true. You need a vision. And so the vision, seventh, that you need is God's invitation. And all of this comes about now here in the text, where it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And so there's an invitation from God. And then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? The us is plural, that's Trinitarian. And then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and say to this people. There is an invitation from God to touch you and send you. There's an invitation from God to touch you and send you to a beautiful place, to other peoples, to a new ministry, to new visions of life, to places of beauty and peace, to places of victory. There is an invitation that God has over your life. And some of you maybe have walked with God, or maybe you're church folks, maybe one of some of the few Americans that you like, I do church. You know? So maybe that's you, and you've been around for a while, but there's still a new invitation of God's invitation. And it's a vision that you need of what God will do in your life and how he will work. And I will tell you, never underestimate what God will do if you're willing to let him do it. Never underestimate what God will do if you're willing to let him do it. God is so on the move. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I want you to hear this, because this is Isaiah's, one of his high points. I'm going to give it to you in Old King James. Can you handle a little Old King James? This is beautiful. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, King James right here, fainteth not. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40. The way that faith is exercised, so very unique, it is related to hearing something and acting upon it. Hearing something and acting upon it. We are westernized people, and so we're used to hearing something and saying, let me think about that. Faith comes by hearing and doing. Faith comes by hearing and doing. So I'm going to actually pray for us. And my prayer team, our church prayer team, is going to be up on the side here. And I want you to come and act on faith. You need to humble yourself before God and come before God and say, Lord, speak your glory over my life. Lord, let me speak your glory over my life. Let me fall down before my blessed God and Savior who is on his throne right now. And for those who are agreeing with God, his throne shakes at the power of his glory. Let it be released over your life. And so let me pray. Let me pray and invite my prayer team over here to just join us over there. So Lord Jesus, we come to you now. And I pray, Jesus, this morning that the slumber that so grips us, you would break us from. That you'd break us from a slumber, Lord God. And let the train of your robe fill our lives. And remove, because you are filling our circumstances with your glory, removing all the negativity and sin and doubt and immaturity. God, removing that and breaking that from us. And so I pray now, Lord Jesus, that you would visit us and let us see a vision of your glory. Stay with me one more moment, church, in prayer. The very basics of the gospel is that you were created in love. You're actually created to glorify God. The but in the equation is simply that the earth is stained with sin, which creates evil and blinders and releases hell on earth. Solution to that was for God himself to come and enter the human race. This is the Easter story. In the person of Jesus Christ, die on the cross for our sin and permanently remove sin, shame, and guilt yesterday, today, and forever. You activate that faith by acknowledging what I just said and saying to God, you want to believe it. So this moment, I'm asking you, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And to journey with him and let God's glory be spoken over your life. So if this is you in any way, shape, or form, new or old, I want to ask you right now to get out of your seats and join my friends over here who want to pray over your life. I need you to take this step. You need to take this step. I want to ask you to get out of your seats and come over and visit with my friends who are going to pray over your life. And I need you to do it right now. God wants to speak his glory over more of you. And I need you to get out of your seat right now and come visit these beautiful people who are going to pray blessings and love of God's glory over your life. Bill, could you join us over there for prayer and receive anybody? There's a few more of you guys. You need God's glory spoken over your life. Get out of your seat. Join us over here. Join us over here. You'll thank me. You'll thank God. Marcia, could you join us on prayer over here on the prayer team? So, church, we're going to continue in a little attitude of prayer here. I'm going to dismiss us. And if we could do a little bit more quietly than normal, I know I asked for help tearing down. I do need help tearing down afterwards. But we're going to continue to let this ministry go on, which was sacred and beautiful. You guys have been great today. So love you all. I pray that this morning's teaching was a blessing to you. So why don't you stand up with me? And I bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That God's power and God's glory may rest upon you. That his love would flood your life. I pray that you would open the scriptures and do exactly what they're saying, knowing that God will bless your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, got a wonderful lunch out there. We're going to keep the lights down low and a little quieter here so we can pray with these people. If you want more prayer, if you're waiting, then wait around and we'll pray for you. And I'll see you outside with a beautiful, beautiful lunch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.